And all of God's people said amen. Amen. And said amen again. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. If anybody is glad in this house other than me, can we give God some praise in here? Come on, I know we can do better than that. Let's give God our best praise. If God was an okay God, he would deserve okay praise. If he was a somewhat God, he would deserve somewhat praise. If he was a little and puny God, he would deserve a little and puny praise. But because our God is a great God, he deserves great praise. And when you really think of the goodness of God and all that he has done for you, you can't help but to give him glory. All of our needs are being met. All of our bills are being paid. We have clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, and we have made it to the wonderful house called Ebenezer. Give God some praise and bless him again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What an honor and privilege it is just to stand here in this historic church and once again being in a house full of God's people. This is so new to me because I'm still trying to get used to Texas after 1 year of moving here. And thanks be to God, on this day, August the 20th, I had the wonderful privilege of driving all the way from Waco, Texas, to come to the wonderful city of Austin, Texas. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a Kentucky fan, and this is Texas, so y'all may not like me before I preach, but thanks be to God, we're all men and women and children of God. Amen. Amen. I want to give honor and respect to the pastor of here, even in his absence. Can we give God glory for Pastor Ricky Freeman? Come on, this is your pastor. Amen. Jeremiah 3 verse 15 says, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." And can we also give God praise for this wonderful man of God to my right, my dear friend, Reverend Torrence Spears. Amen. Amen. It's one thing to be blessed with people in your life. It's another thing to actually have real friends who love you and care about you, who want to talk to you and pray for you. Some friends are never present, but we have some friends who are. And Torrence has been a wonderful friend, a big brother, if you will. I'm bigger than him, but he's older than me. So he's big brother. Amen. To this wonderful choir, can we give God praise for the voices of praise here? Thank y'all for this wonderful musician here, my illustrious frat brother by the name of Isaac. We thank you. And to these musicians over here, amen. We praise God for you. If you don't mind, I want to pray real quick before we get to the word. So if all minds and hearts are clear, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come to you this sacred hour that our lives might be changed. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that keeps us day by day. And all that we ask of you even now is that you simply have your way. Remove Dimitri and show yourself. Use me for your glory. And let the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be acceptable in your sight. Throw your weight around here, O God. And this is your thing, and we ask that once again that you do what you want to do. It's in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. If you got your Bibles, brothers and sisters, I invite everybody who's able to stand to meet me in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. And for the sake of our reading, I want us to go through verses 6 through 10, but I only want to read one verse right now, and that is verse 7. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. When you have it, say amen. And if you don't, say wait for me. I heard you. We're going to wait. No saint left behind in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 7. And for those who didn't have it, can you give me an amen? Amen. And the word of God reads thusly. Evidently, there are people who are deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. I just want to read that one more time. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at your neighbor. I'm a little old school. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. There is danger in being prophetically perverted. You may be seated in the goodness and the graces of our God. I want to talk on the subject, the dangers of being prophetically perverted. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that I've realized, and maybe that many of us have realized about being a Christian, is that this Christian life can be hard sometimes. It can be hard because we're trying to stay holy in a world that seems so comfortable with sin. It's hard because when we are trying to build the kingdom of God and try our best to get people saved, it seems that this is a world that really isn't trying to rock with Jesus anymore. And it can be hard because as Christians, it's more than just being a Christian, but it shows us that it's hard because we have some work to do as a responsibility of building the kingdom and building the people of God. And I want all of us to realize this, and please understand that our jobs as Christians isn't just to help others get saved, but also as disciples of Christ to be accurate and prophetic in everything that we say when it comes to the Word of God. And may I submit today, brothers and sisters, that you do not have to have a title. You do not have to have your name to be bishop, reverend, doctor, or prophet, or evangelist, whatever, to spread the good news and tell somebody about the Word of God. For we are all disciples and we are all believers. And if we are going to spread this good news of Jesus Christ, we must be accurate in everything that we say. We must be passionate in everything that we say, and especially mean everything of what we say. And the reason why I say this, brothers and sisters, is because when we preach and when we spread and when we teach the Word of God as disciples of Christ and putting emphasis on Jesus Christ, realize that everything that we say is super critical. And the sad reality is that we live in a world where people are literally twisting and turning and trying to bend the Bible and have it be prophetically perverted, all to try to fit their means. Now realize, brothers and sisters, when I say the word perverted, I'm not talking about inappropriate, awkward sexual behavior, but I'm talking about when somebody is corrupting, when somebody is twisting and bending and distorting something from its original meaning. And there are many people in our churches nationwide and worldwide that have taken this holy, divine, and powerful word, this wonderful gospel, to be prophetic, to make personal theological views to fit their lives personally, instead of preach and teach and spread the true theology and exactly what the Bible says. And may I submit, brothers and sisters, that if we are doing these things, if we as Christians and as saints are bending, twisting and turning the word and turning the gospel, then we ourselves have been guilty of becoming prophetically perverted. And may I submit that it causes danger to our Christian beliefs. It can cause danger to our minds. It can cause danger to our spirits, dangers to our relationship with God, and dangers to the ones who are even trying to get to know Jesus Christ and don't know him yet. And here this apostle Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia, and realize that usually when he writes, he always starts seemingly joyful. He always writes his letter in a greeting and a blessing and gives God glory at the same time. For example, if you're still with me, if you go back to six through five, it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present age, and according to the will our God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Realize he's getting cute in this greeting, but realize right after that he goes from 0 to 100 real quick. He went from calm, he went from peaceful, he went from graceful, and now he's about to get ugly in this letter. He isn't trying to be cute now. He isn't trying to be nice now, but his vibe has changed, and he shows us the dangers of what it can be when many of us can get prophetically perverted, and especially what's happening in this text. And the first danger that he shows us, brothers and sisters, number one, there will be desertion and confusion amongst the saints. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there is desertion and confusion amongst the saints. What do you mean, Demetria? I'm so glad that you asked. The Bible says right here, verses 6-7, it says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. And evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Realize, brothers and sisters, that Paul gets word and is in total shock that the saints in these churches in Galatia are turning away from God. And they aren't just turning away from God, but realize they're turning away quickly, as in so soon. These Christians in Galatia are new to the faith, or they've been there for a little while, but something has been said. Something has happened to where that some of those who are in these churches have turned away from God. And they're turning towards a gospel, a different gospel, which is not in a gospel or any good news at all. Why? Because these churches around and these people around were being prophetically perverted, trying to bend the gospel. And there was so much impact and so much corruption that it caused people to desert themselves from the Lord, and it has caused damage to their spiritual lives and what they believe. Brothers and sisters, this is why we ought to surround ourselves with people in the church who know the word. This is why we surround ourselves with people who are going to spread the word of God without bending or corrupting or twisting the word of God, but tell it fully. If we are going to be disciples of Christ, and if we are going to be Christians, and if we are going to be what God has called us to be, then we shouldn't by any means pervert, corrupt, twist, or bend the gospel, let alone the whole word of God as a whole. We must stick to the truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth. And I know that many of us like to get on social media. We love to get on YouTube. We love to get on Instagram, and we love to get on Facebook and TikTok and listen to other people and how they have their own personal theological perspectives. But if we are not careful and have a sense of discernment and knowing what is right and what is wrong, as we surround ourselves with people who know the word, love the word, and want to spread the word of God with truth and clarity, it can cause us to be confused, deserted, and maybe even have some of us fall into prophetic pervertedness. And may I submit that if we are not spreading the good news and how Jesus came down 42 burning generations born of a virgin Mary, if we are not spreading how he was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, and baptized in the Jordan, if we are not spreading how he healed the sick and raised the dead and touched blind eyes and made the deaf hear and made the mute speak and healed those who had diseases and forgave those who have sinned, if we are not spreading how for the sins of the world he died and got up on Sunday with all power in his hands, if we are not spreading this, then we can be careful of becoming prophetically perverted. Realize that only through him we can be saved and inherit the kingdom of God, and how he has brought salvation to this world. And if we are not spreading that, we're having a disservice to the kingdom. And this is why, brothers and sisters, we ought to read the Bibles for ourselves and surround those who love God, because it can cause damage to our life. We ought to do our own biblical homework and be confident in what we read, confident in what we say, and confident in what we learn and apply it to our minds and our hearts, because we can become prophetically perverted. So when we are dealing with the dangers of being prophetically perverted, not only it can cause confusion and desertion of the saints, number one, but number two, get this, brothers and sisters, it can cause us to be under God's curse or God's punishment. Look at your neighbor, say God's curse or God's punishment. What do you mean, Demetria? The Bible says right here in verses 8-9 in the New International Version, it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so I will say it again. This is Paul talking here. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you have accepted, let them be under God's curse. Here Paul is trying to make his claim. He's trying to make his statement. And he's trying to make it so known that he even says it twice repeatedly and says, even emphatically, if we or an angel or anybody who was preaching the gospel other than the one that you have preached, other than the one that you have accepted, let them be under God's curse. Now realize, brothers and sisters, this could be confusing for some of us because, if not troubling also, because Paul mentions the words God's curse. But he really doesn't explain what God's curse is. And now we don't know what God's curse really is in this text because the Bible does not mention. However, let this play around in our mind a little bit. And how God's curse could be God's punishment on us. Please understand that though God is a loving and caring God, please realize that he's also a God of just, a God of wrath, and he can also give us punishment. For example, God gave the command back in Genesis to Adam and Eve to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And after God said to eat from any tree except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, guess what happened? Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They ate from the tree and their eyes were open and they knew they were naked, and God cursed them and punished them in such a way. For Eve, that childbearing and childbirth was going to be severely painful, and for Adam, eating thorns and thistles for the rest of his life and eating from a cursed ground. Even when the earth was full of corruption and even full of violence, God told Noah that he was going to put an end to the people. For him to make an ark of wood made from 300 cubits long and 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. And because of the corruption and the sin and the violence in the world, he floods the whole earth. How about even in Judges, brothers and sisters, when the people of Israel couldn't even keep a stable relationship with God? To the point that they decided to do evil in their eyes and practice other beliefs and idolize other people. God allowed them to go through every trial, curse, and tribulation that you could think of. And then they finally wanted to turn back to God when things got worse for them. Here's my point, brothers and sisters. If we can mess up this text, if God can punish those when they do wrong in his eyes, if we are going to sin against him and twist and turn the body of Christ and the Bible, realize we can go under our own curse from God. Realize if we are bending the gospel and bending the word and spreading the gospel in a way that we are not telling the whole truth. And if we are Christians and being devoted to God, and if we're lying and twisting and turning, we can be under God's curse. Maybe our punishment or our curse is losing our anointed voice and no longer having any power and substance coming out of the things that we say. Maybe it's people leaving our churches and joining other religions and other practices because it seems that Christianity just can't get it right. Maybe our punishment is a curse of not being fully to be able to potentially evangelize the way we should, prophesy the way we should, and speak on behalf of God like we should. And when we become guilty of becoming prophetically perverted, it can lead us to being disciples without discernment, vessels with no voice, saints with no sound and also no substance, and ministers without a message, and godly people without no power. But may I encourage somebody and learn that if we can spread the word of God the right way, and if we tell the truth about what the Bible says, we don't have to worry about being under God's curse. We don't have to worry about being under God's punishment. Realize, brothers and sisters, that if we stay prophetic, speaking truth to power and not becoming prophetically perverted and teach the what the Bible says, realize people can authentically be saved. If we're going to make disciples, then we need to do it right and we need to do it with the truth. If we are going to go ye therefore, brothers and sisters, and teach all nations, then we need to go ye therefore and teach all nations right and with the truth. If we're going to be telling people about the goodness of Jesus and all the things that he's done, and if we as men and women and children of God are going to spread the gospel, let's not sugarcoat anything but tell them the real truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bended and twisted theology can't get people saved, but Jesus can. And if I can encourage, when we lift up the name of Jesus and tell the truth about the good news, realize things can start shifting. Chains can start breaking. Weight can be lifted off of our shoulders and people can be drawn to him. As a matter of fact, how to reach the masses. Men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And if I be lifted up, then I'll draw all men and women and children and everybody unto me. We don't have to worry about being under the punishment of God and our ministries being in mess and people not knowing whether to stay devoted to Christ if we are doing things the right way. But lastly, brothers and sisters, I promise I'm trying to get done quick because I don't want to be the thing that gets y'all in between some chicken and some collard greens and some Kool-Aid. But the last thing that I want to say, brothers and sisters, before I take my seat, that the dangers of prophetically pervertedness can not only lead to desertion and confusion, realize it can also lead us to be under God's punishment or God's curse. But thirdly and lastly and finally, and I'll take my seat, it can challenge us to see who we really want to please. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, who do you please? Who do you serve? Who do you care more about pleasing? What do you mean, Demetrius? It says right here in verse 10, Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? And if I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul realized he makes it very clear about his motive. And it's not to have the approval of human beings or please people, but to please God. And if his focus was to please people, he would not be a servant of Christ. Here's my question to some of us, brothers and sisters. What is our motive for ministry? What is our motive for being a Christian? What is our motive of building God's kingdom and building God's people? What is our motive of spreading the word of God? Are we trying to please people? Or are we trying to please God? And may I submit, brothers and sisters, that if we're going to spread this thing, realize it's going to be hard to please people with this text. For this text is offensive to the ways that some people may think, to the ways that some people may live, to the things that some people may believe, especially in today's generation, what some people may affirm. And our motive for ministry shouldn't be to twist and turn the Bible for our own comfort just so we can have other people feel comfortable. No, we need to tell the truth and what the Bible says. And sadly, brothers and sisters, this nationwide, us as a body of Christ, has not always been clear on speaking the whole truth. For in today's world, and excuse me if I open up a can of worms on this, but the only thing that this world is worried about when regarding Christianity is how God is love. And God loves you. We live in a world where all people want to say is it's okay to live how you want to live because at the end of the day that God loves you. It's okay to say what you want to say because God knows your heart and God loves you. It's okay to do what you want in the eyes of you. This is what the world is saying because God loves you. But may I submit that yes, God does love us. Yes, God does care for us. And even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he loves us so much that he wakes us up every morning with new graces and new mercies. But can I keep it 100 with y'all today? God does love us, yes, but God hates sin. Realize he does give us new graces and mercies every morning, but he does hate sin. realize that a lot of us have been so comfortable with our sin that we want to twist theology and make it seem that God is okay with what we're doing when we know that he's not. And we're too busy trying to play God like God ain't watching and knowing every move that we make. The challenge is, brothers and sisters, if I can also keep it real one last time, if I can keep it 100, we as Christians have become crowd pleasers. There's a song that came out in 2016 that said, that girl is a real crowd pleaser. I'm not going to go through the rest of the lyrics because we in church. But realize that us as Christians, we have become crowd pleasers. Pleasing people and not telling the whole truth. Bending and twisting the word of God so it can fit to our lifestyle choices and affirmations. And all we are doing is becoming people who are making a disservice to the kingdom. Do we really care more about sugarcoating the gospel and the word of God so we can get a cheap amen and a quick praise break and be entertained in the church? Or do we care more about pleasing God? Do we care more about pleasing people to where they pervert the word of God so we can get more people to join our congregations just so we can say that the numbers have gone up? Or do we care more about serving God to where we spread the word of God with the absolute truth and be more concerned about building the kingdom rather than building the church congregation? God is not going to rewrite the Bible for our generation, my generation, your generations, all generations. And it's time for us to stop changing scripture when scripture is meant to change us. Here's my closing remarks, brothers and sisters, and I'll take my seat. Maybe some of us today have been doing evil in the eyes of God, twisting and turning the Bible to fit our means, and it's not okay. But I have hope for all of us that if we have done so, we can easily repent and ask for forgiveness even now. Spreading the word of God is hard, and spreading the gospel is rough, and it's not going to get any easier from this. But let's be careful to not be prophetically perverted and make sure that we are spreading the word of God. Let's not cause evil, but how about we evangelize the right way? We live in a world where people are lost. Austin can be lost. Dallas can be lost. This whole world can be lost, and who are hungry for the word of God and are trying to seek Jesus. And if we are going to build the kingdom of God, we have to do things the right way in the eyes of God and not our own. Let us pray. God, in Jesus' name, we come to you today humbly, needing you to change some of our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, get back on track on what we need to do when it comes to building your kingdom. God, if we've been twisting and bending your word, we're sorry. If we haven't told the whole truth, we're sorry. But we come even now to repent of all the wrong that we've done. And we ask that even now that you create in us a clean heart according to your loving kindness and get us back on the track that we need to do, and that's spreading your word the right way. Help us, God, as your humble and faithful men, women, children of you and your servants, to tell the truth about what you say. Tell the truth about what your word says. When we tell the truth and spread your word the right way, things can change. People can be saved, set free, and delivered. Keep working on us. Keep going through us. And allowing us to be the servants and the vessels that we need you to be. We love you and we thank you. Heal us even now. And help us do better with spreading your word the right way. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you help me thank Minister Lane again? We come now to a point in our service, in our worship, that is often considered maybe routine for many of us who are already Christians. And that in and of itself is a perversion of the gospel that we are to teach. We are to pause now because someone here may be confused. Someone here may be under the punishment of a curse. because of our sin, someone here may not know who you stand to please in your life. But if that is you, we want you to know that you can come to Christ. You can give your life to Him and He will make you over. He will make you brand new. All you have to do is come. As our family and our friends stand, as our deacons and ministers come, we offer Christ to you, my brother and my sister. We offer Christ. Let us sing, church.
We offer Christ to you.
belonging@ebc3austin.org, and we would love to express the love of Christ to you. All you have to do is reach out, type your name in the chat box. One of our members will also welcome you. For those of you who are in worship, before we leave, let me give just a few closing remarks. I won't be with us in benediction in the back. Minister Lane and Dr. Bryant will receive you. But we do have some children and youth who are here. Because it is Youth and Young Adult Sunday, I want them to stand, and I want to say a quick prayer over them as they have and will return back to school. Children, youth, would you stand so that we can pray for you? Amen. Trey, well, I saw your face. Why y'all? Yeah, stand. And then for all of those who are here and standing next to our youth, would you just reach out to them as we pray over them? We pray for you kids and children, youth, y'all don't want to be called kids, because we know by God's covering, you will be safe this school year. You'll be prosperous this school year. You will do great things, but it is by the hand of God that we do it. Let us pray. God, we ask now your covering over our children and our youth. God, we ask that you would remind them that all they have to do is turn their eyes to you.
Yes.
When their friends are flaky, when their grades drop, when sports may not turn out the way that they want it to, when extracurricular activities, band and volleyball and glee clubs and all the rest of them seem to leave a void. God, we ask that you would remind them that you can fill that space, that hole. God, we also pray that as you cover our children, you will keep them safe from the hands of the enemy. God, there are many things that seek to devour them. There are many situations in which the world tries to pervert your gospel from them. But God, we ask that you would reveal your truth through love, that we would stand as examples to them, and that you would cover them under your divine protection. God, we know that you're able, and we give you thanks. We praise and uplift your name because it's already done. Amen. Through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. As we now prepare for our benediction, I again want to thank Minister Lane for coming and sharing with us in the gospel today. Thank you for standing instead this morning, my friend. And also, Ebenezer, because of me getting back home with my wife and family, I want to stick away from shaking everybody's hand, so I'm going to slip out this back door. But for our guests who are visiting with us, please know that on behalf of our pastor, we love you. We're excited to have you in worship, and we want you to come again. So we extend now our benediction. Please receive them as they come.